Christian Crusaders warmly welcomes each of our listeners on this third Sunday of Lent. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
How seriously do we take that part of God's Word that talks about His judgment? That's what our sermon is about today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are willing to come to this world, to take your place on the cross, and to suffer and to die for our sins. Today, O God, we pray that as we listen to you, amongst the jeers of the crowd, and the tears and the wailing of the women, that we may know that this is a judgment scene, that God does not wink at sin, that he will forgive it, but he will never condone it. And as we take a look at your word, we see so often, Father, that it is a word of love. But help us also to understand that it is a stern word at times. It is a word that deals with righteousness and judgment. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will work through that word and convince us of our need of a Savior, lest we perish in our own sin. All this we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 26. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Oh,
friends in Christ. Jesus is generally presented as a messenger of hope, love, peace, and forgiveness. His words are filled with love. There is a joy in them. For example, we are well acquainted with those words of Jesus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We are also acquainted with those words from John 5:24. "I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." In other words, we have passed out of the judgment by grace through trusting him who has taken our sins upon him. Oh, one more. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." These are words of comfort and peace, and we thank God for them. We go back to them day after day. In our text today, however, we have another word. It is also a word from Jesus that is stern, and one that can be frightening and can make us extremely uncomfortable. But it is a part of his word, too. And if we take the Bible seriously, we're not just to pick and choose. We're not just to take those verses that we like to hear, but we must have the entire message. We find Jesus on his way to the cross. He had been condemned to die by Pilate. He had been beaten and spat on by the Roman soldiers, and he had been mocked by the religious leaders of his day. Verse 27 of our text says that there was a large crowd of people following him on the way to the cross. And among those who were following him were women. Now there must have been believers and unbelievers. I wonder if Mary and Martha had not come in from Bethany and was walking behind the cross, and they were crying. I wonder if Mary Magdalene and all the other Marys and Salome and so forth were not there. They were the ones who had stood faithfully beneath the cross when he was dying. And some of them were those who had gone out to the tomb on Easter Sunday to anoint the body. I can't help but believe that they were in that crowd of people who were following him all the way to his death. And then I imagine that there were some who were not believers. They had been in town. They had seen this, and they just detested. They were overwhelmed emotionally with a barbaric way of execution by crucifixion. Can't we get rid of that? So as he was going along the way, and he noticed the jeers of the crowd and the tears of the women, this is what he said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't you weep over me. You weep for yourself and for your children. For the time is going to come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.'" Now that's a pretty stern word, isn't it? Those who never had children perhaps will be better off. That was a sign that some terrible, terrible days were ahead. These are words that are condemning. These are the words that are judgmental. And these are the words, my friend, that came from none other than Jesus Christ himself. Now we might ask the question, did he refer to a specific event in the history that perhaps some of them would know? There is every reason to believe that he was talking about the fall of Jerusalem if it came to a geographical matter. Philip Schaff, one of the great historians of the past, wrote in 1888, "There is scarcely another period in history so full of vice, corruption, and moral decay as the 6 years between the Neronian persecution in 64 and the destruction of Jerusalem in 70. This period was so corrupt that the Jewish people rebelled and showed tremendous courage in resisting the Roman Empire. Besides the thousands who died in what is known as a Jewish war, thousands more died from famine and disease. Finally, on the 17th of July, in the year 70, the daily sacrifices at the temple ceased, and thousands of Jews died around the altar. Jerusalem was burned on August 10th, 70, and by September 8th, all of the city was destroyed. What does this mean? Well, Josephus, another historian, writes, "In this fall of Jerusalem, there remained nothing to make those who came to Jerusalem believe the place had ever been inhabited." Was that what Jesus referred to as he was on his way to the cross and he saw the tears of the women and heard the jeers of the crowd? Was he saying, it is not going to be long, even in the lifetime of some of you, when you will see God's hand of destruction upon sin? Well, we don't know if it was that or what else it might have been. Now it is 110 years since Philip Schaff wrote these words about how terrible the morality had been, the corruption that was found in the Roman Empire. And during these past 110 years, there have been many other terrible times, perhaps even worse than what they experienced at Jerusalem. There has been Hiroshima. There has been Nagasaki. There has been the Holocaust, killing over 6.5 million Jews. Those were terrible days, too. We see what sin can bring forth in this world. So it is not for us to argue today if those things that have happened within the last 50 years or so were greater than those that happened in the days that the disciples of our Lord were on this earth. We know that there is great corruption today, and we know that there is a lot of moral decay. And our Lord teaches us that this will always end with a judgment. God does not wink at sin. He will forgive sin, but he will not, my friend, condone it. I think that is so important for us to understand. We live in this sin. It becomes a part of our own being, and pretty soon we begin to take it kind of easy and say, well, I guess that's a part of our day too. But let me say it once more. God does not wink at sin. Now, that's not something that I have drummed up. This comes from the Word of God. God is willing to forgive us, but he will never condone that act which is contrary to his will. There is a judgment. There is a final judgment. What does that mean for those of us who are individual people? It means that if I die and my sin is still with me, if it has not been forgiven, then I am lost. And we shy away from that message because we say we live in a day where people do not scare very easily. And that is so negative that better that it not come from the pulpit or from the preacher's lips. More people can be won by loving them into the kingdom than frightening them into the kingdom. And I sort of agree with that in a way. But it does not mean that we can get by with not talking about that stern Word of Jesus. What about the end of the world? Don't you believe this world is coming to an end? Well, if you believe the scriptures at all, you know that it is, that history does not go round and round and never stops, but it has an end. And at the end, we stand before God Almighty, who is the judge. We confess in our creeds. This is not some emotional doctrine that has appeared in the last few years by a group of emotionalists, that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. This is the core of the Lenten message. Jesus is walking to the cross to suffer and die for the sins of the world. And if that had not been necessary, then there would have been no cross. But payment had to be made. But even with the judgment scene painted by our Lord Jesus Christ, there is still hope. In spite of the jeers of the crowd and the tears of the women, our Lord Jesus Christ still talks about redemption, forgiveness of sins, entrance into the kingdom of God. He will take our sins upon him if we will but receive him. Listen again to these words of Jesus. Now, after the hard words have been spoken, whoever hears these words of mine and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed from death to life. And so right there on the cross, he could say to a man who had sinned so grievously that his society was putting him to death, your sins are forgiven. Today, you will be with me in paradise. That's the gospel. And he gives that assurance because he is paying the price for the sins. Listen to that great word that comes from John 6:37. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I don't know who's listening to me today on this radio broadcast, but I want to tell you that if you're steep in your sin and it's bothering you and you don't know where to go, go to the cross. Go to Jesus Christ. Listen to what he is saying. He is crying this out to you so clearly in his word. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. These words he speaks to every generation. They come to us too, friend. They are the words that need to ring in our hearts. Remember his words to Jerusalem? He sat there on the Mount of Olives, and he cried out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would love to have gathered you under my wings like a hen gathers her chicks. But you would not. You simply would not. It isn't that God wants us to perish. Rather, he wants every person in this world to be saved. The atonement of Jesus Christ covers the sins of all individuals. But if we will not, then we have to face the judgment alone. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, America, oh, Pete, oh, John, oh, Mary, oh, Barbara, how I would love to gather you under my arms, like a hen gathers her chicks. But you don't want it. You say you don't believe it. It is not rational. I can get along by myself. That's what makes Jesus weep. And so he could say to those weeping women, don't worry so much about me. I'll get through this. I will get through the crucifixion. I will be raised again. This I am doing as a payment for your sin. You cry for yourself because here it is all before you and you reject it all. He does not want to condemn. He wants to forgive. But sin must be atoned for. And either we pay for our own sins, or we have to place our sins on Jesus Christ. And through his sacrificial suffering and death, he redeems us. He is, my friend, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And so the women cried, and who of us would not cry to witness such a torturous act as crucifixion? Who of us could possibly stand it? It would not be rational. It would not even be human to see a person go through that kind of suffering. But our Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear that it is in love, that all of these hard, sharp words had to be spoken. The greatest sadness is to see the price Christ has paid to atone for our sins, and then see people walk away. Yeah, it's Lent. We're right in the middle of Lent. And if there is to be a glorious Easter Sunday morning, then there has to be a torturous day when we see what brought this all forth. If we will but trust Him, we can have the assurance that all is well. Can we, I ask you, can we remain indifferent to this Savior who has such a love for us? There were the jeers of the crowd. There were the tears of the women. And there is that voice of a God of love speaking with stern rebuke, but still saying, "Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you suffered and died at Calvary. You suffered as they pierced your hands with the nails and wounded your side with the sword. And the blood went down your face when the crown of thorns was placed on your head. But Lord, we know that you suffered probably even more at the Mount of Olives, when your emotions gave way and you depicted a people walking away from you in unbelief. God, we know that that picture is before you today, that we who have heard so much can walk away in our unbelief. And so, Lord, today we pray in a very special way that the Holy Spirit will open our ears and our hearts, that we may really understand the meaning of that which we have heard so often: Jesus Christ died for us. Give us a greater appreciation of your love, and help us to understand, O God, that our faith must be built on that rock who is Christ alone. We confess that there are emotions that go along with our relationship with you, but we know that it must be more than an emotional response. It must be a commitment to you, Lord Jesus, who have committed yourself to us. So we pray again this day for those who are sick, the suffering, the dying. May these words that have come from you, I love you, I will not fail you, I will not forsake you, be their comfort and their stay. Hear us as we pray together, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the light of our Lord Jesus Christ will guide your path during the coming week. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported by gifts from you, our listening family. Through the decades, we have been blessed by listeners planning ahead to help us financially. Estate gifts now make up a significant part of our yearly income and have helped us offer the gospel message to new areas. Have you considered Christian Crusaders in your estate plan? For more information, contact our office by mail or by phone. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. And our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, simply dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.